Like we mentioned LeBron and the scuffle, I gotta drop a Sunday, which I might do that. I mean, why not? But
That one was wild. So, I mean, shoot, we could bring it up.
all right, bro.
That definitely was something we could reference to define the era, was the Mouse in the Palace. So that's what I was thinking about. Like that
Oh,
changed the game up.
you tight,
That's a
right? That
big
changed the
one.
whole. That changed the organization from a certain standpoint. But hold up.
Okay. All right.
Basketball Jones, got a basketball Jones, oh baby,
Walton can tip it. Bryant with the save.
Oh, you gotta get a shot here.
Final seconds. Bryant for the win. Bang! Adams catches, puts up the three. Long go. Rebound box. Back out to Adam. History final. Bang! Tie game with 5 seconds remaining.
What's up, y'all? It's your boy Leif Israel back again with another podcast on the Network Nights podcast. Again, it's me, your boy, chilling here. I got another friend in the building. He repping Washington. I think my team's whooping their ass right now. Oh crap! You know, Kirsten, I forgot. I'm gonna blank that out. But they whooping their behind right now. I got my man Jackson Jones in the building. What's up, bro?
Now, I can't verify the validity of that slander he just said, but I mean, it's probably a good game. So,
yeah, where are they playing? They're playing it in DC this time, right?
Yeah, but Kyle Kuzma wore some wild stuff to the game, so I don't know if he's ready to play. He wore a oversized sweater, pink sweater.
What? I was gonna say, hold up, because you can see my screen, right?
Yeah.
This is why I did this one.
Yeah, oh,
oh
there it is.
bro, what?
Yeah.
Bro, what is he wearing?
Yeah.
Oh, yo, fashion's getting a little too out of hand, bro.
Yes.
Like, this is different.
Oh, I think
Man,
it's huge.
I'm not going to hate. I'm not going to hate. The shoe's clean.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But
who made that sweater? I'm curious.
Bro, that's the thing. I mean, if you seen the Met Gala, right? You saw that joint?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, this is like nothing. This is like nothing compared to.
Yeah.
It's just
I mean, it's not outrageous.
Who's better, though, Russ? Who's better, Russ or Kuz?
We traded one for one. I would say they're about even when it comes to the ridiculousness of the fit. But when you're rich and you have a stylist, you can do that. So.
You ain't lying, bro. You ain't lying. But hey, Jax, welcome to the show, man. I'm real glad I got you on
Appreciate
here, bro.
It.
I think they can already see this is going to be a little different. I think every episode is a little different, and I like that. But this one, we're going to shoot about sports. This is not a sports podcast, so if y'all don't like it, I mean, just enjoy the camaraderie that you're about to hear. But me and Jax, we I think on a regular basis, we always texting back and forth about either really pretty much hoops, but any type of sport we're going back and forth on. So real excited to talk about that. I think I got a little surprise for you, Jax.
No.
I got a little surprise, bro, because you know all my intro music is all special. It's all real special.
Oh,
so
Lord.
I got a little song for you,
Lord.
Bro.
And hey, I'm off. I'm out.
You know the lyrics, bro?
Yeah, I know. I'm gonna let it play out.
Walking on my way, and much to my surprise, a pretty little lady up and caught my eye.
Yeah.
Decided to approach her with nothing to lose.
Uh-huh.
Cause saying yes or no would be for her to choose. I said, hey, how you doing?
How you doing?
She said, not
how
well.
You doing?
And the tears started flowing. Her eyes
hey,
began to swell.
Okay.
She said, my man just left me for another girl.
I
said, baby girl,
course,
don't worry.
Happy
I'm gonna bring you in my world.
Happy Sunday, y'all.
Girl, I can't find. I don't know what he put you through.
I don't know what he put you through.
But baby, I swear he didn't know what he had in you.
What time is it?
Let me hold you in my arms and never let you go. I'ma be right here for you, down with you for sure. Baby, I'ma do you better than he can. I'ma be right here for you, I'ma be that better man.
I see you over there in your fly.
I hope that got y'all Sundays ready, y'all. Y'all don't know, that was Better Man by, I mean, at this point, that's by the man Jax featuring Ease and New Money. We're going to keep New Money identity secret, but.
What a classic. What a classic.
I mean, that joint was smooth, bro.
Over 10 years now? It's about 10 years old now.
Bro, it says I uploaded 8 years ago, man.
Oh yeah, that was a while ago.
Yeah.
It was at least, I thought it was, because we did it in, we did it sophomore year when we had all that free time.
So 2012, so
that was 2012. Okay, that makes sense. So probably just coming up on 8, 9. Yeah,
2012. Because, 2012, we were like, actually became like people again. So for y'all, for those who don't know, both Jax and I both went to Naval Academy. So we didn't know what college was. All 4 years, we still don't know, but we at least got like a little taste of freedom, junior and senior year, and that's when we was kind of wilding out there. So this is when the music career popped off. But that was Jax, y'all. Like that was Jax, hey. Man.
Hey,
that was good, man.
No, it's been up and down. You know, the passion for music is you know, been up and down. You know, it's a journey, but hey, that was the beginning of it. You know. Was great.
All right, I'm happy that was good times, bro. I had to surprise you with that one.
Appreciate it.
All right, man, so let's cut right into it, because this is not a sports podcast, so of course we gotta do it. We can't just talk about LeBron and Stewart, you know, that drama. We can't talk about the typical drama. This ain't First Take. So we're gonna make it a little different. For y'all. So Jax, in your opinion, what or who defined this era of basketball? Man, right? Like, what era are we in? What era are we in right now?
Yeah, so I think our era is really defined by elite offense. So if you think about some of the rule changes, even going back to the hand check days where they took that away, the ability for the defenders to manipulate the offensive player by using their hands, right? Like once they took that away, you know, once they basically decided that, hey, the NBA is better when people are scoring, right? So you can even think back in the days when the Lakers and the Celtics were in the championship. Some of those scores of those games were in the 80s.
Yeah.
Like, and today you can get 80 points at halftime. Yeah. So I would honestly say that players that, or even rule changes, and then players that kind of made this era what it is, are ones that kind of lend themselves to the offensive game kind of taking over. So if you think about the dominant teams now, they have 4 or 5 players on the court who can score, dribble, do everything with the basketball. And, you know, back in the day, it's funny, right? We think of like the centers, right? Like there's no Shaqs anymore. There's no, you know, the Dwight Howards, you know, dominating the paint where you're like, all right, we're going to slow the ball down, you know, or we're going to pass it to somebody in the post. They're going to dribble 10 times and they're going to try to dunk on somebody, but that doesn't happen anymore. So I would say a long-winded way to answer this question is a player or a kind of rule change that defined it was probably, I would say, Steph Curry's kind of one of those guys, you know, definitely. You saw he kind of started his career a little slow. He had a lot of injuries. But now, you know, he's even at, what is he, 32 now? 33? He's still dominating the game with the outside game, the three ball, and this offense, right? You know, we used to say defense wins championships, but now we're like, we don't even, you know, defend a little bit. But if you score 120 points, you're going to win the game.
I don't think anybody basketball head is going to deny that, like, the 80s was different, the 90s moved forward, and now the era we in, I mean, I would say, like, the Jordan era, like, I think all the eras are defined by, like, a certain player. Like, like you had the Hakeem Olajuwon era, which was, like, that big man, right? Then you went to the Jordan era, things started kind of getting a little different with that 2-3 position becoming more of a pivotal point, right? Kobe era kind of followed in that. LeBron, to me, started a whole new era where you had the versatile big man. Like, Giannis, like you had these like you didn't have the old school, hey, back you down like Shaq and then take you out. You started seeing this migration towards a versatile big man. And LeBron's like the most versatile big man to ever play the game, right? That's why he's LeBron.
Yep.
I mean, it's interesting you're saying the Steph Curry era. I think we're in the midst of it right now. Like LeBron's, sure. I mean, he's just kind of the staple. He's lingering. I think he's lingering a little too long. But I mean, shoot, man. I still think I see what teams like the Toronto Raptors were doing, right? And the Hawks, where they're saying, hey, you know what? We're just going to get the most versatile people. And what you call it? You call it wings for days, right? We're going to get all the wings.
Yep.
And we're going to put these wings out there and just have them guard everybody. Everybody's getting switched, and it doesn't matter. I think if I had to say what era we're in right now, I think I agree with you on that, though. I think the Steph Curry era, everybody's shooting from logos. Everybody's shooting like that. Everybody's shooting.
Yep.
Like, John Morant didn't have a shot. Now he has a shot. Miles Bridges didn't have a shot. Now he got shot, bro.
Yeah, I agree on that point, the versatility piece, because there was, I don't remember what year it was. I think it was a year after the lockout or whenever all that TV money came in, what was hot, well, who got paid, even if they were trash, it was either a floor spacing four or a 3-and-D. Like, Nicholas Batum got paid. Chandler Parsons got paid.
So, there is one thing you don't do, and as you talk about, you mentioned that man's name to a Hornets fan, bro. I told you I'm a Hornets fan. Don't do that, bro.
I think Charlotte overpaid him. I think it was 5 years, $100 million. I think it was around that range. But anyways, we're not gonna do that. Michael Kidd Gilchrist. Everyone was obsessed with the three man who could defend. And I did say shoot, but Michael Kidd Gilchrist, we know we can't.
Nah, he was athletic, though. He was athletic, baby.
Yeah, he was athletic. It was like a three to four athletic, getting guard one through, I'm putting air quotes up, five. And now I think that was, we're coming on the end of that era, but still you see teams that have like those, like you said, the versatile players who can guard anybody and who can kind of do a little bit of everything. Like you said, Toronto, you think of Golden State, the death lineup they had.
Yeah.
You know, when they were running with nobody was taller than 6'9". Draymond was your center, and you just put shooters and ball handlers around Steph and Clay, you know.
So how do people like Mike D'Antoni look right now, then? Because is he the original? Is he like the father of this? Because I remember in the Phoenix days, right, that's all he had. People remember with Shaq went over there. They're like, yo, how is Shaq going to keep up with this high-octane, high-speed offense, right? And he couldn't. Mm-hmm. It was funny. He saw him running sometimes, but –
yeah,
I mean, Mike D'Antoni was on that, and he never went away from it. It's just sad that he can't win a chip.
Yeah, that was a talent grab, I think, with Shaq. I think it was just like, all right, we're just gonna get the best player we can, even though he was on the tail end of his career. You're like, all right, we'll make it work with Shaq, even though they had Amari Stoudemire, and Sean Marion still. They got rid of Sean Marion they traded Sean Marion to Miami. So, that team. Yeah, I would say D'Antoni was the start of it for sure, because he, with Steve Nash, small ball, I think they were doing like a 10 seconds or less offense. So, they were trying to just outscore everybody. And they had a lot of wings, too. They had like Rajah Bell. You can consider Sean Marion like the start of that kind of that three-man who can do a little bit of everything. They had Jason Richardson at some point. You know, they were trying to do it. I don't think they had they didn't have the talent. Like, they didn't have the superstar wing. They just had Steve Nash kind of running the show. So, I would also say that, I'd also say our era was defined by point guards too, man. That seemed to be a trend.
You think the point, I would challenge you on that one, because I would say the point guard changed during when we were coming up. Like,
it went from
being a distributor to more of a scorer, like way more scoring.
Yeah. For sure. Like a point guard, almost shooting guard hybrid, essentially. But because there was days, if you think about like the old teams, like the Lakers, they didn't have dominant point guards. They had Derek Fisher. You know, the Spurs had Tony Parker. I wouldn't say he was a ball dominant guard. He just did what he needed to do. He never really averaged more than about 20 a game. And then now you're like, all right, Steph Curry, 30 plus, you know. You want that lead guard who can score for you. So, we're definitely moving away from the guy who actually distributes the ball. They can still do it, right? But we're not, like, sitting there pounding the ball. All right,
Yeah, I mean, bro, like, look at, I mean, it seems like the people who are leading in assists are big men now. And it kind of makes sense because if you got, you know, the Joker in the middle or at top of the key, I mean, he can see everything. He can distribute everywhere. I mean, LaMelo Ball, bro, like, the way he be having that ball in a freaking yo-yo is crazy because his eyesight is ridiculous. Yeah. But I think, again, going back to it, it's like, nah, he's a combination of a point guard and a shooting guard. Like, you can't just be you can't just be one, but you got to be really, really good. Actually, question on that. Do you think we'll ever see a Muggsy Bogues again?
That's weird. It's funny. I think they just put out, like, a documentary or something about him.
Yeah, they're coming out, yeah.
I don't want to say no, but even, like, they consider Trae Young a small point guard. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's 6'1", and that's considered small nowadays. But it's weird because nowadays they switch so much. You don't see, like, he doesn't become unplayable, right? Like, he's still so good on offense that you can cover him up on defense, you know? That's the concern with small guards, like Muggsy Bogues and Earl Boykins. He played for the Wizards. He's like 5'8".
Yep.
You know, my height. So he's not small because he's my height. I'm about that tall.
Yeah, but, tiny, bro.
Yeah. So they used to have to cover those dudes up on defense, but their offense never outweighed their defense. So it's hard to keep those guys. Like, they stuck around. But, small guards, man, you don't really see that too much now. And even then, like, because there's so many good big guards, like, no team is going to be like, oh, I want this 5'9 guy to guard a 6'4 point guard. Like, no one's looking at that. So a lot of those dudes kind of sit around in the D League or the G League, what they call it now. So
IT was like the last shot because he was easily able. Like, it's still kind of messed up with how Boston did him because he had enough momentum going that, like, yo, like, you could do something with this. Like, I look back at the old footage of Muggsy and they switched. Mm-hmm. They switched plenty of times and they said, hey, you know what? Let's have Muggsy. I seen videos of Muggsy in the post, bro. And the way either he like take the chair out from under them, he let them dribble the ball, and he like go under. Like, he was so crafty though that he said, "Yo, you know what? I'm short, and like, you think you're gonna take advantage of my size? But I'm gonna show you." I remember him saying, "Like, the ball has to come to my level at some point in time. So whenever it does, I got the advantage." I was like, "All right, bro." So it's not like it was easy for him back then, you know, because he was in a forward heavy league, right? Forward and center heavy league at that time. But I mean, like you said, it's not impossible. I just don't know if any teams will give him the shot. That per like IT deserved the shot, but he got pushed out. But who knows? I think it's possible.
Yeah, I have an interest. I mean, if you think about it though, the Celtics situation with IT, I think this is a good point too. When it comes to, they always talk about loyalty to your team. So they praise Kobe for staying in LA. They praise Dirk for staying in Dallas. They praise Tim Duncan for being a Spurs entire career. Mm-hmm. But that sounds cool, right? Like, but like you said, at the end of the day, they can cut you at any time. So for you to be loyal to a team, like that's, you should do what, I think players should do what's best for them. So the team is going to do what's best for the team. And then you have to kind of accept that. So think about, you know, that with IT, and then think about with Melo, right? The team, you know, Melo was like, some people thought Melo was selfish. So every team was like, all right, well, we're going to do what's best for us and not sign Melo because they didn't want that on their, at the perception was that he was selfish. They didn't want that on their team. I mean, at the time, like, he can say that now, but he did say some things that made you question whether or not he'd be willing to accept a bench role. Like in that interview, I remember they were saying, it was on OKC. I think it was during the preseason. And they go, oh, hey, you know, Melo, how would you be, you know, if you're willing, would you be willing to accept the bench role on this team? You know, we have this, this, and this. And he's like, oh, hey, P, they said something about a bench role. And he just started, you know, because back then, you know, he still had that, like, hey, I'm a elite player mentality. But at the end of the day, the team's going to do what's best for them. So that brings you to another point. I think this era has also been defined by players being able to kind of do what they want to do. So with the Players Association, a lot of those players are protected their rights and their ability to kind of maneuver and do what they want to do, maybe to a detriment to them, like you're seeing right now with the Ben Simmons thing. I don't want to go there, but you know, those players, back in the day, the players had literally had no choice of anything. You know, they're a free agent. I don't even think they had somebody representing them, so they didn't have as much choice. So I'm all for it, you know, them getting a little bit more. Once again, it's their career. their person, you know, their business, right? So they should have a little bit more say. So I'm glad that that's kind of been implemented. It was actually a few, like within the last 20 years, a lot of that stuff's been implemented. So
yeah, I'm like in between, because I understand it's real. It feels better seeing competition when people aren't boys or, you know, kind of making their own way to team up and make these. I'm not going to say super teams, because guess what? They were already making super teams way before the players started doing that. Like, and I think that kind of pissed me off when people are like, you know, what Braun did or what the Celtics did. Like, yo, like, bro, like, are we not going to talk about that Lakers team that had Magic? Like, it was stacked, bro. I have to look it up to see exactly everybody on it. But that team was stacked. Mm-hmm. And the players didn't do that. The Lakers did that, right?
Yeah.
So I kind of see both. I kind of messed up. I seen both eras, and I get to now look and say, dang, like, which one's better? I don't even know if there's a better or worse. I think it's just more of, hey, this is how it's going to go forward. I mean, if we're being honest here, I mean, and you know, you kind of say his name is like taboo at this point, but Kyrie been talking about the players should just pool together and make their own league. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think we talked about this. Like, Paul Rabil, he was a lacrosse player, and he, you know, the Major League Lacrosse had its own thing going, MLL. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, one, it wasn't going anywhere, no traction. Guys weren't getting paid anything, and they were, you know, being professional athletes working another job. And he said, like, yo, forget this. We're going to make our own league. It's called a Players League. And came with way more energy, way more spunk. I don't even know if it's I don't know what the status of it. I ain't seen the numbers, but they got like a huge deal with NBC. And the whole thing though is that the players are getting paid to do,
for sure,
it's owned and ran by the players. So I know Kyrie was on that wave, like, yo, like, we have enough people in the NBA and former players to do this, and they could make it work. But I know that's like a whole nother conversation of, but when you're talking about power going to the players and like the progression of this, I think eventually that's what we're going to get to, unless the NBA just keeps, you know, appeasing the players. But eventually it's going to come to a point of, you know, we want ownership. We don't want to hear this anymore.
Yeah. I think there's enough. I think they've done a good enough job. I would honestly say the NBA does the best job at, you know, supporting their players in general. If you think about a lot of the stuff last year with, you know, the protests and, they basically allow the players to do that stuff openly. So I think the NBA does a lot to protect their players, their rights, and then their ability to kind of maneuver in that scheme as far as like negotiating, kind of getting what they want. Like, sometimes it doesn't work out, right? Like we've seen both sides of it. We saw James Harden basically show up out of shape, not play, and force his way out of Houston, right?
Bro, what's going on with James, bro? Like, I don't want to hear about these rules changes, bro. Like,
we can talk about that too. That's a good point.
All right, let's hit the rule changes then. Let's hit the rule changes. Yeah. I found this little thing where the officials from the NBA on Twitter, they put out a whole thing explaining what the rule changes are. So these things are pretty quick, bro. I was gonna play them and then we can kind of just chat about them.
Bet. The first non-basketball move that we will review is an offensive player launching or leaning into a defender at an abnormal angle or trajectory. The highlighted offensive player, Luka Doncic, makes a shot fake that gets his defender, Andrew Wiggins, to react by jumping into the air. But Doncic then launches forward at an abnormal angle, and he initiates more than marginal contact with Wiggins. Since this contact is more than marginal, and it was initiated by Doncic moving in an abnormal direction, it should result in an offensive foul. This next example of a non-basketball move involving Chris Middleton and Will Barton should result in a no-call this season. After his shot fake, Middleton leans forward into Barton at an abnormal angle, but the contact between the two players was only marginal and it did not rise to the level of a foul, and thus this would be a no-call. The final play in this section will show contact that occurs after a shot fake that will continue to be called a defensive foul. After the shot fake by the offensive player, C.J. McCollum, the defender, Ivica Zubac, moves forward, and he moves into McCollum as McCollum attempts his shot. McCollum used a normal trajectory to elevate for his shot, and he made no overt or abnormal movement into the defender. Since the contact on this play is more than marginal, it is a defensive foul on Zubats.
I mean, all right. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, like we said, this area has literally been defined by, you know, offense, right? Like speeding up the game, scoring more points. And I think as soon as people saw James Harden get like 20 free throws a game, the game taking, you know, an hour longer, they're like, all right, enough of that. And it showed that I like it because it's ridiculous sometimes. Like you like the people that there's no, you can probably count on one hand, like who you're like, oh, they're a solid defender. You know, like that's not really some people value anymore. It's like, all right, can you do a little bit of everything? And then the good defenders get, when they're any aggression is taken advantage of by this. So I like the rule change. I like it.
I like it too. I mean, I know the people at home can't see this, but like that first one with Luka, bro, like he launched himself so far and with so much force, he almost fell to the floor going forward. Like he could have, if his shoulder would have hit, I don't even know who it was. If he would have hit homeboy in the freaking chin, like, nah, that would have been, yeah, that would have been real crazy. But I think, so like this is my, I did my first year as a lacrosse official, right? And I had my first games a couple weeks ago. And bro, like I think the hardest part about being an official, and again, I only had 6 games in, so people don't kill me for like trying to act like I'm an NBA official. I'm not. I think the hardest part, bro, is like,
hey, good comparison.
Yeah, like people trying to like you know, after trying it out, the hardest part, bro, is your angle. And I think that was something I'm noticing, like the camera angle that we can see on a daily basis, like the one of the referees is behind the play. So when you're seeing that angle, right, it's kind of hard to tell if they see marginal, right? Hey, was it a marginal impact to the play? Was it was aggressive, an abnormal launch? Like these are a lot of, I would say, judgment calls that I think that's the hardest part. I don't know what's going to happen because I know we're stressing, the league is stressing, like, you know, the instant replay and stuff like that. But it's just getting a lot. It's just being, I would say it's like almost, it's really difficult being an official in today's age just because you're expected to see what the camera sees, and that's not always the case.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. And I think it always has been. My grandfather, he was actually a ref. But I, just seeing it from the other side, I've done it once or twice, a few times, like with youth leagues, and it's hard. Even like when you're playing pickup ball and, you know, you want to be the ref on the court, right? Like you might see it another way because you're, you know, you're in a certain angle, but that you literally step to the other side of the court and you're like, I didn't even see that, you know?
Yeah.
So it literally is all about your angle positioning. Like they do a pretty good job. I think they try to keep like a triangle or something like that as they go up the court. Like there's some kind of formation type thing they do so they can see a little bit of everything and someone's in charge of each spot. But yeah, it's hard, man. Like you said, even on that shot, like because so long we're that year at least, we were used to seeing that and that it being called a foul because it is contact. People were kind of abusing it, right? So I like the rule change, man. And unfortunately, like now people are, like you saw the Trae Youngs, the James Hardens, it's taking them a while to get used to it. But I literally just saw the other day, I think James Harden was like 20 for 20 from the free throw line. So they'll find ways to get there. Yeah. But they're a great player.
There's an easy way. I think, why don't you add a fourth ref? Like if it's getting to, and this is something that, you know, I think what I realized when I was out there, they were asking me like, hey, do you want to go ref football? I'm like, I don't know football like that. I didn't grow up playing football. But, bro, the referees on a football field, there's like 10.
Yeah.
There's like two on each side. You got the back, the two back. You got the far. I'm like, bro, are you serious? He's like, yeah, there's like 10. And all they have, all the referees in football, they literally, so like in basketball and lacrosse, you're assigned to like a section of the floor or a section of the field. So you have to be like, you know, watching kind of this and then peripheral. In football, they're like this. Like, they are assigned, like, hey, if you're a line ref, you are assigned, hey, look down the line and see somebody comes offside. Like, because they have so many refs, you can have more people specialize and make the game a lot faster. I mean, it seems like basketball's going to have to get to that point where, hey, you need a fourth eye out there so you can just have one, two, three, four. But I mean, we'll see. I think that's going to end up happening because there's too many cameras out there.
Yeah, it might. And then I'll say the market is there's more, obviously more NBA games every year. So like to fill that need to add an additional player every night or additional rep every night. I think they already probably have one on standby. I'm not positive.
Yeah.
That might even be more demand because those dudes have to travel too, right? So it's like you know, additional cost to whatever league has to do it. So not a big deal, right?
But they making cash flow, bro. They got the bag for it.
Yeah, actually, I talked to some of the refs we went to a G League, not the G League, but the Summer League a few years back.
Yeah.
And the refs at those Summer League games are basically trying out to be NBA refs. So think about, you know, they get to the peak of their career and that's their tryout. So like for them, that's their big moment. This is a summer league. Bro. So it's crazy because it's a trial for the players and it's a trial for the referees, which is pretty cool, actually.
Bro, I make like $50 a game, right? Refereeing high school and youth. Mm-hmm. And it goes up, like it just keeps going up. And this is lacrosse. It's not even basketball or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But they're saying like the college D1 games, they making like, those refs making like $500 a game, bro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was like, man. And that's the crazy part. If you're a coach, you're not, like, until you get yourself up to a college D1 level, you ain't making nothing. Mm-hmm. So,
nah.
I mean, you can kind of move up the ranks really quickly as a ref, as an official, but I don't know, bro. I know. I feel bad, bro, because I was like, I'd be watching football games here, and I'd be cursing the refs out in my living room. and my wife, man, she looked at me. She said, yo, mm-hmm. I was like, what? She's like, that's going to be you. So get ready. Mm-hmm. Get ready for that. Get ready for that parent who about to be yelling at you the same way you yelling at TV. I said, oh, nah. Bruh, it was. So you have to, we switch sides, right? We go like, we'll go refs. You'll go field or parent. Mm-hmm. And then you go coach's side.
Oh, hell no.
And you got to keep switching back and forth. Bruh, this one coach, yo, man's was really mad, bruh. Like, it's a fall ball tournament. He's acting like this is for the D1 championship, and he's about to get the biggest pay raise if he wins it. Like, man's was like running up and down the field. We had to tell him, yo, mate, you got to get to the side. You have to stay on your side. Man. Like, it was bad, man. He's up there like, hey, that wasn't out. That wasn't out, sir. I'm like, yo. And I can't even see. I can't see from my angle because the far official got that. I'm like, hey, man, he got the eyes on that side. He got the eyes on that side.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, sir, I'm just saying, it looks kind of, I'm like, I can't see it. How can you see it, man? Come on, man. Yeah. Like, but that's just the nature of the game.
And it's such a balance, too, right? Because, like, you're trying to do your job. Everybody's critiquing you. But you're still trying to do your job. But at the same time, you got to somewhat, like the coach, at least, you got to interact, right? So I can imagine just being an NBA ref where you're making decent money, but you're sitting there trying to, you know, manage the game, manage, you know, millionaires, manage the coaches and the arena full of hundreds of thousands of people, like, you know, 10,000 people plus every time. Like, man, that's stressful.
Right. They told me basketball people won't do basketball because they don't like the fact that the fans are that close.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do about it. Like,
Nothing at all. Yeah, dude.
He's walked out.
He's like, y'all ain't talking about that. Let me get up out of here.
Oh shoot! Yeah, you want to go to the rest of the fish? You want to go to the rest of it? Or you want to just like keep going?
Let's get it.
You want to go to the rest of the rule changes?
Yeah, let's go. Yeah, let's go rule changes, and then we can talk. Move on.
All right, this is veering off path.
Oh, I like this. I like this one.
The next type of non-basketball move involves a dribbler abruptly veering off his path and moving sideways or backwards into a defender.
Dang.
The highlighted dribbler, Steph Curry, launches his body at an abnormal angle to his right, and he moves into the trailing defender, Dante DiVincenzo. This illegal contact by Curry is more than marginal, and it affects DiVincenzo's ability to defend the play, and therefore, this would be ruled an offensive foul. Next, we will see an example of contact between the dribbler and his defender that is only marginal and no foul would be called. We can see that the dribbler, Kyrie Irving, gathers the ball and he moves sideways to initiate contact with the defender, Dennis Schroeder. but the contact Irving initiated was only marginal, and it did not rise to the level of a foul. A no-call would be the correct ruling. Next, let's look at an example of contact between a dribbler and his on-ball defender that results in a defensive foul. When the dribbler, Trae Young, drives toward the paint and then stops short, the trailing defender, Raul Neto, continues moving forward and he makes more than marginal contact with Young. Please note that an offensive player is allowed to stop to shoot at any time, and the onus is on the defender to avoid initiating illegal contact.
Bruh, so off rip, did you see that last play?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't touch him. I'm a look at this. Especially here from this, again, from the angles, right? This angle, it looks like Neto, you see that? Like
he kind of hit his arm a little bit.
It's like he got around him, though.
This is the way it looks, and then you expect it when he stops up like that, because he also leans forward on the shot too.
Yeah.
So he hit him. He tapped him. A little love tap.
Bro, this rule. I you said you like this rule. The over. This is over.
I do because I think veering off tap definitely, especially because they abuse it, right? Like you're not. They were literally like the Steph Curry one where he jumped to the. He was moving forward. Saw him on his back, over his right shoulder, and jumped to the side to shoot this. Like, you know what I mean? That's not a normal basketball move unless you are trying to get contact, right? Like, but I mean, you're gonna play the game based off the rules. So I don't ever get mad at somebody for taking advantage of a rule because that's the rule, right? So
I like
you have a certain number of timeouts. You're gonna use those timeouts. You know, that's the rule. So
I like the offensive foul. I think the no call and the defensive foul is gonna get like because that's my thing. It's real easy when things are black and white, right? And like now you're asking for more of a hey, like there's way more gray area here. Like I mean, we saw the only one that was really absurd to me was the defensive one, and then the Steph Curry the offensive foul because it was obvious. Like hey, that wasn't a normal basketball move, but the no call.
Yeah.
Man, I see a lot of people like I see a lot of players who are gonna say, I mean, there's already enough yelling in the league and people complaining. Mm-hmm. That's gonna be even more complaints of no calls if they. And I think that's what James Harden and all of them been yelling at, like the no calls.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. And their definition of marginal contact is, you know, that I guess it'd have to be defined. Like I'm not exactly sure how they, you know, where they move from marginal to, you know, too much contact or where it becomes a foul. But you know.
Yeah.
That's another point. That's like you said, that's hard, right? As a referee, depending on your angle, it might not look as bad.
Yeah.
No?
And so, even the marginal piece is and I'm saying probably you have to look it up, but I feel like the marginal piece they're talking about here is the effect it has on the, I mean, they call it the dribbler or the shooter, the effect it has on the shooter. But if you're saying the shooter now can also be at fault, it's like a combination of, okay, it's part shooter, and what they did, their action, right? Normal basketball motion or play, on top of the defensive player and their effect on that shooter to make the shot. So it's like a whole bunch of like tethers tied to each other to make that call. I think that's going to get a little weird that one, because even when Trae stopped, Trae looked back. He said, like he waited for him. So
yeah, oh for sure. But hey, back then the rule was the rule, so he took take advantage of the rule.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why not?
I feel like leg kick. I'm gonna pass the leg kick. Leg kick's pretty obvious.
Yeah, it's been around for a while.
Yeah. All right, and then this one's hard, bro. I ain't gonna lie. This one, I don't know how they're gonna catch this one, but
I love this one. This is funny.
The final non-basketball move to review is contact between an offensive player and his defender, where the offensive player uses his off arm to initiate contact. Here, the dribbler, Trae Young, uses his off arm to hook the left arm of the defender, LaMelo Ball. This illegal contact occurs in the process of Young attempting a shot, and it impedes Ball's ability to continue defending the play. This type of contact is illegal and should be ruled an offensive foul on Young. The final play in this section will show an example of contact initiated by an offensive player's off arm that is only marginal and thus would not be ruled a foul. The offensive player, James Harden, uses his off arm to initiate contact with the arm of the defender, Giannis Antetokounmpo, as Harden is in the process of attempting his shot. But since the contact was just marginal, this should be ruled a no call. Going forward, we will continue to review these types of plays, and we will work with our officiating staff to identify and properly adjudicate all non-basketball moves used by offensive players.
That one's hard. That looks like the same move to me.
This one is the off-arm contact. I tell you this, man. I don't know who, like, and they have these meetings. They have meetings to say, hey, can you catch this, right? And these guys' eyes are trained, and gals, right? Oh, yeah. Their eyes are trained to see the stuff. But, like, even on the Trey one, when Trey's going to into his sweeping motion to, like, shoot, is it just has to be the off ball? Is it the off hand? Is that what? Yeah, well, it's off arm. I don't know. It's kind of weird. It's kind of weird to me.
I mean, what do we always say? Hand in the cookie jar. Like, I don't know. He got caught with it. Like, it's tough because that's you. They're literally taking advantage of a rule, right? Like, that's the only reason that they do that is because their hand's in there. And then, all right, I'm going to go for the shot. You know, and they, remember they used to the swipe through? Where they used to just swipe, the dude would have it, the defender would have it. So they finally got rid of that.
But James, they used to go James up. They used to, harsh.
Yeah, they used to swipe through in their pivot and then go up for the shot. And they used to get free throws for it. So there's just been a lot of changes with that. So I think it's kind of defending the defender, right? Like, they're getting a little bit more leeway to defend and against these non-basketball plays. I think that's the premise of a lot of these because it was getting ridiculous last year. Yeah.
And I mean, it still is ridiculous. I think this is – I'm just trying to think, like, consistency, right? Like, I think that's my question mark is them saying consistently, calling this correctly every time. Because you know what's going to happen. The finals are going to come. The playoffs are going to come.
Mm-hmm.
And now these little calls are going to be nitpicked. Like, I feel like all these calls they just went through, they're going to be nitpicked in the playoffs. And then we're going to be having discussions on, hey, like, this ref didn't get this one right. This ref did get this one right. Well, could he see? I mean, and nobody ever says, well, did the ref see from that angle? Like, nobody cares.
Mm-hmm.
We saw it from like 10 different HD angles. So, bro, you should have got it right.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. This is like real nitpicky stuff that they're trying to say, hey, y'all need to catch this in the act of it and make the call. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, they're trying to clean it up, but they're also, I mean, once they stated the, which I like, the replay rule. Like, they're trying to get it right. You know, they're trying to get it right and trying to change the game a little bit. But for them to sit there and not make any change at all would be, you know, against the moving forward the league, you know. So I like the changes, you know, the fact that they are trying something different. And then none of us like, you know, James Harden shooting 40 free throws a game. So as long as we move away from that, I'm good. I'm cool with it.
Yeah, as long as we get away from this, bro. Like, I just don't want to see this ever again. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see this. Like, all that needs to go away, bro.
The flopping.
Like, what happened to flopping?
It's kind of going away. They used to fine people for flopping.
They haven't done that.
I haven't heard that in a while.
They stopped. I mean, that left a long time ago.
Yeah.
Like,
that was the last, like, they got that. When the league kind of cranks down on something, it goes away pretty quick. So, rule changes like that, I haven't seen anybody get. It used to be Marcus Smart, LeBron every now and then. Flopping would get you Blake Griffin every now and then again.
Bro, for the love. All right, I'm just going to.
It was like 5K, right?
I'm just going to say it, bro. I'm just going to say it. Because I can't help it. Can't help it. LeBron needs to get out the freaking league, man. No, like, he's making basketball worse. Like, he's making the NBA worse, bro. Like, come on, bro. It's not even like I'm trying to do a hot, like, the league treats him different, and we all know this. The league, everybody knows it. Like, LeBron gets treated differently, and it is what it is. But nobody can be bigger than the NBA. It just makes the game different. And I feel like LeBron is bigger than the NBA at this point.
He is, and rightfully so. I would say if we're going to look at who defined our era, it was him. It was, what do we got to do to beat LeBron every year?
Do you think Tom Brady's
at one point?
You think Tom Brady's bigger than the NFL?
No, because he did dominate, but it's harder. I think it's harder for one player to dominate in football, if that makes sense. Like, it's possible, but one through five, like, if you, you know, on a five-man basketball court, like, you play, we all play pickup. Like, if you have the big, if a dude that comes in the gym and we're playing, we're all like, you know, 6'2" and below. If a dude comes in at 6'9", 250, he can dominate a game, you know? On a football field, he can't cover the entire football field by himself. You know, Tom Brady has definitely dominated, but one player, I mean, can literally change the whole game in the NBA game.
I agree. I agree with you, man. It's nothing against LeBron. Like, at this point, it's nothing like, I'm not going to go, like, we're not going to the MJ versus LeBron. They goats, mm-hmm. right? Like, LeBron's a goat in his own right. I just see, it feels like, it's, yeah, it just felt like he's hanging on by a thread. And then at this point, mm-hmm. he just needs to pack it up and let and I'm telling you, bro, he gonna play with his son, and he gonna mm-hmm. and nobody ever is gonna be able to do that for like 50 mm-hmm. to 100 years, and then yeah. you know, that's gonna be his legacy. Like, yo, he was the endurance man of the NBA, but mm-hmm. I just hope it comes sooner or later. Like, he goes to Cleveland, plays with Bronny, they have one season, and then he's like, all right, cool, I'm out. And then I can't wait for like the next generation of young guys to come in. And that kind of leads me into my next question. Who do you think is going to emerge, I guess, from this next class as like the superstars of tomorrow?
Man. So I think kind of the point you're kind of making is, you know, LeBron being bigger than the league. Like, we are riding that one player, you know, he dominated the entire league for, as soon as he stepped on the court, right? Like, yeah. I remember I'm a Wizards fan. So unfortunately, you know, many of our playoff defeats were to the Cleveland Cavaliers when we had the Gilbert Arenas, the Antoine Jameson, that era of our, I'm putting air quotes up, big three, because there's way better big three.
Wait, bro, hold up.
Yes, I did it. Go ahead.
What was the big three for, say the big three again for y'all back then?
Okay. Gilbert Arenas.
Okay.
Prime Gilbert. Antoine Jameson, 20 plus a game, all star. Karan Butler, tough juice, straight out of Wisconsin. Nope, where are you going? Years, I think it was a 3-year stretch. We were dominant. We were hot. We were the talk of the East.
Oh, my bad, bro. I had to leave because.
No, yeah, you stepped away. Just, you know, the talk of the East. We were the talk of the town. Gilbert Arenas was in the MVP conversation.
Oh my gosh, bro!
You can Google it. They were the big three. That's what they. I mean, in DC, we were a small market team. You know, you probably didn't hear about it, but you know, it was a thing. It was a thing.
All right,
I said air quotes. All right, you know,
all right, it's okay. Yeah.
I'm defending it too hard right now.
Yo, bro, you said big three.
The big three, bro.
The Washington Bullets, bro.
Man, that damn
Gilbert,
near, yeah,
and
that,
Gilbert with the bullet.
Dark. Yeah, Gilbert. It was a rough stretch. It was a traumatic few years, but now I think I've recovered. So
okay, wait,
yeah.
back to your point though. So LeBron was dominated for all that time.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah. So we're looking at you know, a player. I don't know. I don't want to put a player on it because I think that the beauty in the league is that there's so many opportunities for so many stars to dominate. So, I mean, to the level of, I think everyone's looking, we always do this. We always do it. I don't like it, but it always happens. What do they say when someone's getting drafted? What do they say about Zion? He's the next so-and-so, right? Like, we do that every time. Like, Kobe, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't necessarily, I agree with it, right? Because you want to feel that feeling you felt when LeBron won a ring for Cleveland. You want to feel that he was the king. He came in, he dominated from day one, right? We want that again. So we're looking for the next version of that. And I don't think there is that coming anytime soon, if I'm being honest. So we have a lot of talent, but it's just not going to be the same. It's going to be something different. So even like Giannis, there's never going to be another player like him. Like, what, like 6'10", 6'11", can dribble, can get from free throw line to free throw line. And we've seen him do it in like two or three dribbles, bro. Like, it's just different, man. The game is crazy, you know?
I mean,
just Giannis, when you think, yeah, go ahead.
I'll say Giannis is, Giannis is that, I mean, just like you're saying, like just the evolution of the game. I think this is why Zion got so much hype, because he was supposed to be the combination of like a Shaq with LeBron. Like, they wanted him to be this dominant big man, but then he's also give me the ball at the top of the key. Like I'm not going to say a souped up Bron, but I think that's what they were trying to paint him as, like just as a player. And, you know, hopefully he gets back on the court for your fantasy, for your fantasy outlook. Hopefully he gets back out there, you know what I'm saying?
For sure.
Bro, you know, I don't even know, you know, and we kind of skipped over. What do you feel about the Cavs? Because the Cavs are taking the opposite approach, right? They play, start 3 7-footers. I mean, like, you think that's like, that's going away from the small ball aspect of the game, and they're actually doing pretty well.
Yeah, it's weird, right? They're, who is it? Lowry Marketing,
Allen,
and then the young boy, Evan Mobley. So that's, then they actually have a winning record, and it's the Cavs. So it's working out right now, but I think a lot of that is attributed to just the early season. I don't know if it's sustainable. They lost their starting point guard once again to go. Yeah,
they were training section anyway, bro.
They were. I think a lot of it is just good timing. I think they started off hot early last year too. But that's a lot of talented players, man. And I think their organization is finally kind of getting its feet under them, you know, from the LeBron letdown again. So they, you know, the hangover from having him and leave is a thing. So I would say that they're doing well, but I'd have to see it sustained over the course of the season, because I don't know if starting three big men, it can work. They're skilled big men though. They're not just like, you know, we know what Allen's gonna do. Mobley's really skilled, and then Marketing, he's basically a three man in a 7 foot body. But if the league moves that again, I'm all for it.
What?
Because go ahead.
I don't say what if you got three, what if you had a starting five and they all versatile big men? Is it over? Like, because, like, I mean, offensively, you might have somebody like Steph just shooting from deep, but other than that, it's you can't switch, you can't do anything. I mean, that, I guess, whoever team gets like, I guess, the tradition, like, untraditional fours and just stacks them and they can move. Like, what's that guy named from Cleveland? Paul, you know, now Pierce, not Pierce, Perkins got me messed up, man.
Perkins. He plays for, Moody, Moses Moody.
Yeah.
He's not on Cleveland. Isn't he on Golden State?
Nah, bro, he's on, he's on Cleveland.
I think he's on Golden State, bro. Moses Moody. He made a t-shirt and everything. I think he's on, Golden State, he just doesn't play, right? Yeah, there we go. He don't get no burn.
Oh, dang. Who's on the Cavaliers?
Evan Mobley's their big man, the one they drafted.
Oh, that's what I was thinking about. Yeah, that's what I was thinking about.
Yeah, Evan Mobley. He's solid, man. He got hurt, so he's sitting out for a little bit, but Mobley.
He's 6'11". He's 6'11". So, yep. I feel like that's what Cavs are doing. They were just like, yo, let's just get versatile big dudes and put them on the court.
Yeah, it might work. But once again, we know what era we're in kind of right now. So, I mean, they're versatile and they can move their feet, right? Like, it's not like they're sloppy, slow big men. They're like, they're skilled.
Exactly.
And they're moving. We're moving away from that. I think it was funny because back in the day, man, those centers would get paid just for being 7 feet tall.
Yeah,
we definitely moved away from that.
I used to hate that joke.
Yeah, and it's weird because they would, just because they're a center at starting lineup, they would have the center just be there, right? There was finally a move away from that, but it would happen. My best example of that is OKC, right? They would start Kendrick Perkins, but they wouldn't end the game with Kendrick Perkins. It would be Serge Ibaka, Harden, KD, and Russ, right? Like, they would have, just because he's a center, he would play center. But as soon as, they might take the ball and 2 minutes later, he's out of the game. I don't know why they did that. It was really weird. I think the league was just stuck on, we need a center to defend a center.
I mean,
but as soon as they were like,
I got cut at prep school from the varsity freaking team because matchup-wise, like, they already had a number one. I can only pay. I can only play the one spot because I was just too short to play two. And it was like, yo, we already got Death at the one spot, and you know, this other guy's gonna be on the team because we need a center, and he's big. And I was like, that's trash. I was like, man, but I can do so much. He's like, yeah, no, bro, you good, but you just, we don't need you. I was like, all right. Now, I mean, I had a great time playing JV, but I remember those days of, yo, this guy was a lineman on the football team, and he couldn't play a lick of ball, bro. And he played on, he was on the bench, but he was, he was there in reserve.
6'4" in high school, right? Like that.
Big literally. Dude, bro.
Yep. That happens a lot. Especially in high school. Skill, it's literally just at that point, like, hey, who's the biggest? Cause we're going to try to physically just dominate. Cause in high school, everybody's still kind of, you know, growing up. So skill can sometimes get outmatched just pure physicality, right? Like in high school. Eventually it's going to catch up to you, right? But yeah, that's crazy. It happens way too often.
What gameplay changes do you see coming in the NBA in the future?
So we already kind of seen a lot. Something I would like that's probably not going to happen is because the game is so outside oriented, right? Why not just get rid of the 3-second violation? That's a random thought, right? Because originally it was imposed because I think it was, I want to say it was Will Chamberlain, but it was because a big man could literally sit in the paint, be 7 feet tall, and just clog the paint, and no one would be able. So they wanted the game to free up so people could score.
Yeah.
Now the game is so outside oriented, no one sits in the paint that long anyway. So why not just get rid of it, you know? Just get rid of it, less free throws. The game doesn't slow down anymore. And it's a 24-second shot clock anyway, so it's not like, you know, someone sitting in the paint for more than 3 seconds is going to be a big deal. Yeah. It just forces teams to be able to shoot. So, I don't know. Maybe get rid of that. It'd be funny. I don't think it's going to happen. But that'd be an interesting one. And then...
Keep going.
Yeah, and then on top of that, to entice people to move out of the paint, I think they did this in the Big Three, a 4-point shot.
You stole my joint.
A 4-point shot. They do it. It's fun. It's cool. It's different. I think they do it at, like, I don't know if it's a distance back. I think they have like circles, like certain spots are for.
They do, yeah.
But that'd be fun, man. It'd be fun. It would free up the game. It's not gonna happen. Like the 3-point era, like that was even pretty recent, relatively. Mm-hmm. But man, that'd be something different. I actually just saw a video on the institution of the 3-point shot. The first season they implemented it, it was kind of like a joke, because I think the ABA had did it and the NBA was against it. And when they merged, the NBA took some of those rules. And that was one of the ones they took on. It was a couple years after, I want to say, but it was a 3-point shot. So the league leader in three pointers made, they're comparing it to now. I think it's over 300 now, but it was like five 3-pointers. The first year was like 5 3-pointers.
Man was shooting, bro. Man was shooting out the gym back then.
Yeah, because it was almost like a joke. It was like, oh yeah, we're gonna shoot threes, like, because everything they knew up until that point was out inside the paint, pull up jump shots, stuff like that. So, it'd be interesting to see something like that.
I was thinking the same thing. I didn't think about the 3-second shot, the 3-second time. I didn't think about that one. Mm-hmm. I would say, I think that would be, if you want to bring big men relevancy back into the NBA, like get rid of the defensive 3 seconds, because now you can put Taco Fall back down there and let him just kind of do what he wants.
Bro, but he would just stand by the rim.
He would, but this is the thing. With a 4-point shot, you have to weigh it. Now, like, you still have to use strategy in terms of what you want to do. Hey, do I want to have Taco Fall out there? But now, you know, if he gets switched on to Steph, it's over. Steph is going to bring him out to the 4-point shot, and he's going to cash in his face. You know, there's still strategy involved in that, I think, but you'll at least have Taco Fall relevant again. And what's homeboy's name? Is it Bull Boy?
Bull Boy.
Yeah, Bull Boy. Like, they're not getting no burn. They in the wrong era, bro. If they were in,
bro, they really 20
years
are.
Ago, they good. They were. If Bol Bol was his father, he good money, but he ain't getting no burn.
But it's bad because he's so skilled. It's like, you've seen him play, you're like, bro, he's bringing the ball up the court. It's slow and kind of like weird, but like, it's not like he's not skilled. It's just, he's not developed yet. So there's a place for him, but he's also backing up the best center in the league right now. So Bol Bol's not going to get that burn. Yeah. And then Taco Fall. Yeah, you said, like you said, he's just in the wrong era, man. 7-5 back in the day, he's getting multi-million-dollar deal. He's not sitting on the bench and a D League team, or you know, playing in the G League. He's going to be out there. So that's crazy, man. That's crazy.
I think the 4-point shot is actually a possibility, only because, like you're saying, right? It was at first it was adopted as more of a joke because people weren't doing it. Mm-hmm. This is already here. I think the two obvious things, and just because of how the game has progressed, is the 4-point shot and raising the freaking rim. Because, and I mean, I hate to say it, like the dunks, I love a dunk just like everybody else. But dunks used to be, oh, snap, he dunked the ball. Now it's, you know, how high can his head go? How high can Miles Bridges' head go over the rim before he dunks the ball? Yeah. And. Yeah. I think, you know, and I'm short, so it's definitely not in favor of short people. But
not at all.
I mean, it would make the game more interesting now seeing somebody dunk, and it would make the game more challenging seeing somebody dunk. Mm-hmm. But I think that's just the evolution of how the players and their bodies have developed. And then the range of players, like the range, like Logo Lillard, like you have a range now that needs to be – this isn't the same as a 3-point shot. We already established that. Mm-hmm. It needs to be grant, like awarded as a – as a more skilled shot. And I think that's why, like, it needs to be. Mm-hmm. And I would just make it a ring. I literally just have another ring that, you know, they can do the measurements themselves, but it'd be a 4-point shot, just arc to arc.
Yeah. The thing that they couldn't do it in, unless they expanded the court, is in the corner. It's just already, is already super narrow.
Yeah.
People step out all the time. So it'd have to extend from somewhere else because there's no space over there.
Would you
unless they make the court wider. If you, you see what I'm saying?
Would you say extend the court then? To make a 4-point shot outside there?
That would be wild. The court's already huge. Imagine doing defense, playing defense on a court that's the size that's, you know, like, what, 5? It'd have to be, like, 5 feet wider on each side?
Yeah.
Like, that's ridiculous. That would be hilarious. But they definitely wouldn't do that. But once again, like, hey, I'm all for change because if it makes the league better, why not? The 4-point play, 4-point shot would be cool. But I don't see it happening anytime soon because it is weird. Like the 3-ball is dominating now. So like, hey man, move it back a little bit and throw something new out there. Throw a little twist in there. Because we already realized, like you said, how much easier dunking and shooting threes is. So why not add an extra layer, right? Like a more difficult shot than a shot that Steph Curry shoots like it's a layup, right?
Yeah.
That's feasible. It's feasible. But I don't know if it's gonna happen, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the league needs to do something, but we'll see what they do, bro. We'll see what they do, man. But I mean, shoot, man. What time is it over there? Where you at?
It is. Give me a second. I'm off a little bit. It is 11 a.m. So on a Tuesday.
Yeah,
I'm in the future right now.
Yeah, for real. I'm 9 p.m. on a Monday over here in good old Charlotte. My man Jax, he's over in over in Japan, doing God's work for the country. So I want to salute you, brother. Thank you for the sacrifices you made, of course. You know, look like you in a hotel, though, bro. Look, you living, like, pretty nice right now, bro.
It's like a little, I mean, it is a hotel, but it's like a long stay. So it's like an apartment type thing, like a furnished. So it's pretty nice. I like it.
I got you.
46th floor.
Ooh, oh, high rise. That's what's up, man. That's what's up, man. Well, I appreciate you taking the time, bro. Come on here, talk. Spit a little game about some sports, man. I know definitely next time that we got to get you on here to talk about some business, you know. For those of you who don't know, Jax is an entrepreneur, another businessman in the mix doing his thing. Jax, you want to give a little snippet of what you got going on?
Yeah. So outside of, you know, the normal job in the military, I do a little bit of everything. Recently, photography and videography has kind of been my main focus. So I do that freelance. And then I have kind of like a joint kind of venture with some of my business partners called the Creative Suite with my boy Ryan, my boy JC, and then my boy Devin. So once I get back home, we're going to kick that thing back off and go full speed with that. Kind of a networking event where essentially we have different photographers and videographers come. And depending on the event, they have their kind of like their station, their setup, their individual kind of thing, their kind of their flavor, their focus. And then we have people come for the networking event. potentially the drinks, you know, food, just kind of that networking vibe from all over. And then they're able to work with those individual photographers and videographers to kind of get their own little personal photo shoot, you know, come to an event, network, get that piece, but you also leave with, you know, a little personal piece from that artist, from that photographer. And then I also do a drop shipping business with my friend, Brandon Carter. And then I also do a lot of mental health focused stuff on my own. So I just did a series called 10 People, 10 Questions, where basically I focused on aspects of mental health, basically kind of break those stigmas, those negative stigmas tied to mental health. So a little bit of everything. But yeah, we'll get into it a little bit more on the next podcast, man. I appreciate you having me on. And once again, I love what you're doing, man. Network Nights is going to be big. And the big piece here is, hey, we're all passing information. We're all, like you said, I could even say, and in the name, networking, right? Is to bring a lot of people together, get a lot of information out there, and just talk about it and see what everybody's doing. So
I appreciate
what you're doing.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. And trust me, this was an underhand pitch, but we're definitely going to get you back on here, man, and actually do some business talk so we can get through all the ventures, man. They already listened to E's talk, and they love that episode. So, you know, you got big shoes to fill, but I know you're going to bring some goodness, man. Hey, man, let me host one of these events, man. Shoot. You know, I love MC stuff, man. You know, I got you. No,
I mean, hey, it's kind of very fluid right now. We have a very good base for it, because they did one when I was gone, and it was really well. I put on really well. It was with the RBA Fashion Week, actually. So they had a guy host it. He did really, really good. And it was I saw videos and pictures and stuff, and it was amazing. So this thing is probably gonna, I'm looking to help it take off when I get back. So I'm excited.
Most def, man. We'll definitely be there, man. We'll definitely do some collab or something like that, man. Anyway I can support you and get that message out, man. You know, I got your back, dog. But absolutely. Yeah, man. Well, I mean, of course, man, appreciate you again coming out, man. Want to give a big round of applause. And you already know how we're going to end it, man. You already know how we're going to end it, man. We're going to bring this right back in.
We're
going to bring it right back in, bro.
Because she had a man, I think she knew right that I was better. Cause I cared for her heart, mind, body, spirit, etc. Now I can't let her go. I just wanna hold her close as I try to win her heart and present her with the glow. Now she in my whip,
y'all enjoy y'all Sunday
trips. When it's time to ride, I'm looking at her lips, holding her hips. Damn, she's on my mind. Intimacy while you're kissing me, I wanna let you know. I think I got control, but never been with a woman like you before. So just listen, look through that man with your vision. I'll show you good living anywhere I'm with it. Whatever you want, you'll get it. This feeling, I won't forget it. It'll be you, my soul is missing. If you don't use your heart and mind when you make this life decision, so let's get it.
Get it, Jax.
Girl, I can't find.
I'm gonna be able to do it.
But baby, I swear.
I was your cue, bro. That was your cue, bro.
Had it, had it, baby. Let me hold you in my arms and never let you go. I'ma be right here for you, down with you for sure. Baby, I'ma do you better than he can. I'ma be right here for you. I'ma be that better man.